Mark and Serena go back, I'm not sure exactly how long. 35 years? All right. Well, I was going to say something like, things change, but we are consistent. And I was reading their newsletter, and certainly they're going to tell us about some transitions and changes. But we've been through changes here, and yet in some ways, we're just staying the course, and whatever God has for us, that's what we'll do. So would you go ahead and give them a warm Bryant welcome as we welcome back Mark and Serena Dunbar.
Okay, it sure is good to be here. If Patrick could get, there we go. That picture was taken some time ago, obviously, right?
April, is it? I hope I haven't aged that much since April, but you know. You know, when she arrived in our class, Ruth was bitter, hurting. She had recently lost a newborn child due to a birth defect. She was going through a divorce, and she was in a bad place. And today we want to take a few moments to just tell how we have seen her life and other lives of those in Latin America changed.
Okay, as you can read there, 1 Corinthians 3:6-8, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor.
Mark and I have always believed that our main focus has to be training up others. We have to be developing leaders in the countries where we serve. You know, you might have noticed we have missionaries tend to move around a lot. And, well, at least I've noticed it. Yeah. Anyhow, so for us, we figured that the best way to make a ministry consistent, even as Pastor Paul was talking about, is to enable others who live there in that area. So in other words, we plant, they water, and then God brings the difference. For example, the last few years I was able to serve as the director of theological education there in the north of Mexico, and it was such a joy to see them graduate and then use what they had learned in their local churches, in their local communities, and really be able to make a difference in the lives of others. Now, in the last few years, things have changed. There's been a lot of change in technology, and we are now having our new students who come in actually be trained from the center part of the country, from Irapuato, by the Mexicans themselves, through the technology that they have available. So I no longer have that position.
Now, as a former CPA, and also having grown up in Honduras as a missionary kid, I've always been intrigued by this question. What causes poverty? I was trained as a CPA in Portland, Oregon, in a state school, and so I assumed that poverty is a lack of resource, and so what causes it is that you are not in a place to have, you know, to have the resource. I defined the problem wrong, and so I defined the solution wrong too. And so our last term in Honduras, about 10 years ago, I started a program, microfinance for small business, okay? It didn't really work the way I thought it would work. Why? Because I concentrated on the money, on the capital. In reality, we have found that most poverty in Latin America, and we could probably say all the way around the world, is caused by a deficient way of looking at life. We believe that most of the poverty is caused because people have the idea that I was born poor, I'm going to die poor. I am a victim. And someone else needs to fix my problem because it is what they have done. It's not what I have done. And so even though many Latin Americans believe in God, they believe that they've been destined to a life of poverty. And so many see work as a necessary evil instead of the way of worshiping God. Because the Bible teaches us that our work is our worship. It's the very same word in the Old Testament, work and worship. And so we found out about a ministry in South Africa called Work for a Living. And in this ministry, they have been able to successfully train around 30,000 people in how to be excellent employees. And they learned this from a biblical perspective. And so we went down with two young Mexicans also who helped us put everything into Spanish, okay? So that, and so everything, we use videos, we use manuals and everything. There's no gringo face. It's all a good Mexican face, Mexican Spanish. And we were privileged to start two centers in Mexico where we train up people how to be excellent employees. And then COVID hit.
So Ruth, the one I was talking about earlier, was one of those students. And she had recently moved to Saltillo and was looking for a job, wanted to be a little bit closer to the family. And as I said earlier, she was really hurt, you know, and really going through a tough place in her life. And I love this program because it uses the Bible to direct people into discipleship. And by the end of the course, she had accepted Christ as her Savior. So I started a Bible study with her and another one of the students, and 2 weeks later, guess what happened? COVID, you know. And so it was obvious that we couldn't continue those face-to-face Bible studies like I had been used to. However, COVID did not limit God. I was the one who had to change my methodology. It wasn't God who had to change his story. How many of you learned to use Zoom during this last few years? Yeah, the majority of us, right? And all of a sudden, I had to learn how to do Bible studies online. The interesting thing is that they started multiplying. I no longer was just teaching the people there in Saltillo. All of a sudden, I was teaching people from Honduras, all throughout Mexico and into the United States. I was reaching people who were 20 years old up to the age of 80. I was meeting with people who were Catholics as well as evangelicals in these same studies. Now I can tell you, down there, a Catholic would not go into an evangelical church. But here we had them together. And I had people like Ness saying, you know, I've gone to the Catholic Church all my life, but we never studied the Bible. Did you know the Bible has answers for everything? Yeah, I did. But it's just so exciting to see how God is using his word to grow the people. I plant, and we're watering during these Bible studies, but he's the one bringing the growth.
And so Work for a Living had to change as well because we could no longer use the classroom training. And so instead, we switched to online training. And instead of how to be an excellent employee, we had training on how you can start and grow your own business, all from a biblical perspective. And from the very beginning, I wanted to make sure that this was something that would multiply. It cannot depend on me. And so God started putting into motion people who wanted to teach this course so that right now we currently have people in Guatemala, in Honduras, in El Salvador, in Colombia, and in Paraguay teaching this course. It's a one-month course, and once again, we bring the gospel into the message. Because God's answer to poverty is not so much charity as it is business done God's way. God is the God of business. And we could see growth through networking. And let me give you some examples. Okay, one of my first students was Brenda. She was a missionary from another organization in Mexico City. And she has a brother, Victor. Okay, Victor is a farmer. However, he lost his wife to cancer and left him with two teenage kids. And that threw him into a deep, deep depression. As a result, he lost his work and moved back to the family farm, which was in great disarray at the time. And in one of his depressed moods, he remembered something he had learned as a kid, that God not only forgives, but he also restores. So he went to God, asked God to not only forgive him, but to restore him. And God replaced that sense of desperation with peace. Well, then he told his sister Brenda what he had done. And Brenda said, Victor, I want you to take a course, so that, because I believe that you're on that farm for a purpose, and I believe that God can really bless it. So he took the course, and one of the first principles we teach in the course is that we are not the owner of the business, God is the owner. We are just the administrators. And so Victor really started to take that seriously. He would go to God, or he still goes to God on a daily basis, and says, okay, God, this is your farm. What is it that you want me, the administrator, to do today? And one of those days, he said, you know, God, I think your farm needs some chickens. And so how do you think we should proceed on this? Well, that very week, he got a call from someone in Mexico City who said, you know, I'm in Mexico City and my neighbors are starting to complain because I have chickens. Okay, and you know, chickens in a city doesn't always work very well. And so if you come over, you can come and have my chickens. So he grabbed his VW bug, took out the back seat, and went over to this guy expecting about a dozen chickens, or almost 100. So he had to make several trips, obviously. He got the chickens and the pens, the feeders, the whole nine yards. And later on, he went to the owner of the business, God, and said, you know, God, your business needs a larger oven. What do you think we can do about this? Well, he had an old car for sale, not the VW bug by this point. Someone came to look at this car and said, I'm very interested in buying this car, but I have a problem. I don't have the money. But I have an industrial oven. Would you be willing to swap? God, the owner of the business, is looking out for that business. And that business is now blessing not only Victor and his family, but the entire area. Because business is God's way of raising up an entire people. It is the gospel being lived out on a daily basis. And so once a month, the people who have graduated from this course, we offer a space for them to get together online. And so we talk about testimonies the different ones have. We give different business tips and so on. And Victor gave his testimony during this time, and just explaining how God had blessed him. Well, one of my other earlier students was named Luisa. She's from Paraguay. And she immediately started teaching. One of her students was Carlos. And Carlos Franco was actually a business student in a university there in Paraguay. And in that university, he learned that the purpose of business was so that he could accumulate resources. He could get rich, right? That's why people go into business. And so he tried it. He had a store that sold motorcycle parts, and he wasn't doing very well. And so in this course, and then listening to Victor's testimony, he realized that the purpose of his business was so that he could be a blessing to his own family and to the community around him. So he changed his whole focus. And now God has blessed his business to the point where he's not only selling motorcycle parts, but he's actually selling brand new motorcycles, and then he's a motorcycle agency there.
Don't you love how God brings people together? I just love it. Many years ago, while I was teaching missions at our Bible Institute there in Honduras, I was able to teach different people and thought, you know, God, it would be so much fun if someday I can be serving with some of these people, some of these students, on a different level, in a different country. And sure enough, he brought that about. In November of 2020, the Pinedas, who had been students of mine, who are now missionaries in Mexico, went with me and the president of our national church to look at a spot where we were going to introduce the Benedites. The Benedites were also students of ours at the Bible Institute in Honduras, and they were coming as missionaries into Mexico. And so we took this trip to a Christian school out in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And while we were there, Francisco, the church president, he got so excited. You see, for years, he and several members of his church had been wanting to start a Christian school, but they had no idea how to go about it. And here he found a resource. And so when Francisco saw the school, he started asking questions and became so excited that very evening he calls together this group of people and he says, "We're going to start a school and help me do it." And so they came together, they started brainstorming, they came up with ideas. Remember, November 2020, we're still in COVID, right? By January, they decided, okay, we're going to start tutoring and in order to be able to promote the school. By August of 2021, they had started a school in his church building. Now, the reality is that church building is too small. But God knows how to bring things together. And so he brought together the finances. And there was another church with a denomination that had been getting together permits and had an idea of where to buy a property. And so he brought these churches together, and we were able to do a groundbreaking service right before we left. I love how God works. He asked Mark and I and this other pastor to dig out the groundbreaking, you know, and plant a tree. And then he asked the administrator of the school and her husband to come behind and water that tree. And there were all those kids and their families standing around. And if that's not the fulfillment of Scripture, I don't know what is. These kids are so cute. And they are getting a chance that they would not have had otherwise. Because God brings people together to forward his plans. Now, you can be a part of that too. We're looking for people who are willing to help with scholarships, to continue to help with the construction, whether it be financially or going down on a work team to help build the school. We're also looking for volunteer teachers. We have a volunteer that just went down this year, a week ago, I think, and she's going to be teaching English to them this year. And we're always looking for people who can go down and just take a few weeks to or days to read to the kids and help them with their English. There's so many opportunities. And if you're interested, we would love to make that connection so that you could be a part of the watering of these kids.
Actually, you guys have already been a part of the watering. Many of you have been praying. Many of you have been giving sacrificially so that all this can take place. One thing Serena did not mention is that she has also been named as the regional assistant coordinator, which means that we are expanding our focus from Mexico to the Americas region with work for a living that fits exactly in line with the vision God has given me, you know, to change the work culture of Latin America. And so you have been an important part of this, and you continue to be an important part of this. We have two groups of people who are praying regularly for us, those that pray for us generally, and others that are on a more specific team for the work for a living. And if you want to be getting the monthly updates on these, please let us know. We have a sign-up sheet there in back. There's a real beautiful little magnet back there. Serena said only put a few out because normally only three or four of those magnets disappear. And I want to prove her wrong this morning, okay? We have a whole bunch of magnets there. But we really count on having the foundation of people like you taking us before the throne on a regular basis. Also, with the increased responsibilities and with inflation, our budget is jumping up about 25%, which means that we are being asked to raise additional monthly support. And so as God is talking to you about that, I want you to think of the fact that God wants us to be funnels. He wants us to be canals or channels of his blessing. And the more that we bless others, the more God blesses us, has been our experience as we do this. And so we don't want you to give to us. We just want you to be faithful as God nudges you in this opportunity of seeing lives changed there in Latin America. And as Serena also mentioned, that we'd love to have you come down and see firsthand what God is doing. We loved hearing how you are reaching out here in this area. Our son-in-law is a Wesleyan pastor in another mission field called Portland, Oregon. Okay, and we know that you live in a mission field as well. And so as God has given you different gifts, different opportunities, you don't have to be a full-time missionary, perhaps, as we are. God has you as a missionary right here. You are able to impact people where you work, where you study, where you shop, that would never come into a church. And so use this opportunity. It's your way of planting, your way of watering, and it is God who brings all the increase.
What?
I said it already. Okay.
Already.
Okay, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God is making it grow. Okay. We will be there in the back. For those of you who want more information on the school, on work for a living, we'd love to give you more information on any of that. And just thank you. You have been with us for 35 years now, which seems, we're so young, that seems impossible, right? But, and some of you were here back then, 35 years ago. The building looked different. I guess we all looked a little different, didn't we? But anyway, the Lord bless you. And thank you very, very much.
Oh, we have so much. I said, take as long as you need. Obviously, they said a shorter period of time than I normally take. So I'm going to just say two quick things so that you understand how things work here. One thing I failed to mention. Let me repeat what I said before and then say something I failed to mention. We do take offerings here, and we put a significant amount toward all of our missionaries. But I also encourage you, because some of you already do this, I also encourage you that if you want to support any of our missionaries, but today specifically, Mark and Serena, directly, right? So you keep giving a few bucks through the church, but if you want to give directly to them, get on their sign-up sheet. Some of you are doing that, and you were excited to see Mark and Serena today because you've been following them. please do that, right? We believe God's big enough to have a dozen of you go directly, and we can keep still funneling our support to them on a regular basis through the church budget. So please do that. One other thought that came to my mind this week is if I had 10 dimes today, 10 dimes, and you would see a dime laying around the church, you almost may not even pick it up because it's so small, right? But if you saw a dollar, more than likely you would pick it up. Imagine what we do together. A dime here, a dime here, a dime here. When it goes together, God does it. So you may think your part is not big, right? It's important. You take a dime away, you don't have a dollar anymore, right? Your dime, your $25, $50, whatever you're given is so important. And that thought just came to my mind today. So thank you for your part and for your faithfulness. Would you stand? We'll let Mark and Serena head to the back. We have plenty of time this afternoon for you to visit with them, sign up, get their newsletters and their emails. And if you feel so inclined, support them, even if it's a short period of time. Anything is helpful. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have had to see how faithfulness, our faithfulness is just the resource, is just the part of it. But you multiply it, you use it, and so we thank you, Lord, that we can be stewards of you, funnels for you in so many ways, here in Kids Club and Children's Church, at our jobs, and through our giving and going. And so we thank you for the privilege it is. We will not lose when we invest in you, your kingdom. And we thank you for that guarantee. And thank you for choosing us and using us. In your name we pray. Amen.